everybody. Welcome to another Sunday night edition of Take the Black, the show where we get together to talk about all things sci-fi, fantasy movies, TV, and of course, House of the Dragon, which just wrapped up its season 2 finale on HBO and on Max. The episode, I think, was called The Queen Who Never Was, and we have been meeting here every Sunday night to talk all about it. I am Dan Selke, here with Daniel Roman, another WinterIsComing.net editor, Natalie Hello. Zamora, entertainment extraordinaire, and in a returning guest appearance, you've been on the show before, Cody Schultz, who is also an all-around entertainment maven here at FanSided. Welcome to everybody. Can't wait to discuss the episode with you.
Yeah, very exciting. Glad to see everyone in the chat. Hello, everybody out there. I think we have an updated title for this one. It's not The Queen Who Never Was. It's The Queen Who Ever Was, which we weren't really sure. I am not kidding. It's on the screen right behind me. I assumed it would be The Queen Who Never Was, but yep, The Queen Who Ever Was, Rhaenyra. And where do we start here? Do we just kick it around? Is there anything specific title you guys want to touch on first?
What does that even mean?
I hate that title.
The Queen Who Ever Was?
Yeah.
Okay. That's some Dr. Seuss wordplay nonsense there. All right. We have a smattering of comments, some positive, some bad. I want to know what you all thought about it. Like, we got Helena saying, very interesting for a finale. We got Kellyanne saying, horrible last season finale. We got, I think, Robert down there saying, not too bad for a finale. We got Diane saying, I don't think a lot of people are going to like this finale, especially if it waits long for season 3. And Julie saying, I'm a bit unsure of what to think about the finale. There are bits I enjoyed. Didn't feel like a finale. You know what? And Michelle loved it. There's a diversity of opinions. I'm going to go ahead and say I probably land somewhere in the Julie Davies category, as I so often do. I definitely liked parts of it. I was a little underwhelmed by the lack of payoff, and I have some thematic, really navel-gazy problems I'll get into later. But in the interest of going positive, what do you say we start with things that we liked in it?
Yes, Damon and Rhaenyra are back together.
That was nice.
Everything for me. Like, I just, seeing them together made me realize, and I've told you all this a million times already by now, but like, the season suffered so much from having them apart for the majority of the season, and they are just the draw for me, them two together. That's what I loved so much about season 1, amongst other things. And so having that scene of them together speaking in High Valyrian, like, I missed
that's
it.
That's always nice, yeah.
And him saying, you know, we go to war, we fight for our queen, whatever he said. Just, we got our Daemon back, and I can be content with that, even though I'm still angry at the season for other things we got from him.
Cody, you're someone who hasn't read Fire and Blood. The other three of us are all giant dorks. Meadow has not read it either, the dog, but maybe she will one day, first literate dog. What did you think of the Daemon Rhaenyra reunion scene? Are you invested in this relationship? As someone who isn't an expert on this stuff?
I am. Yeah, I totally agree with Natalie. Like, I've mentioned so many times, like, I feel like this season just wasted Damon, and finally getting to see them back together just reminded me how much this season kind of failed us in not getting to see them. They just play off each other so well. And I need more scenes of them together in season 3 because they're stronger together. They play off of each other so much better. And I'm just, this season's story for Damon wasn't for me. I really was just disappointed with where they went, but they just getting to see them share the scene together and like be on screen at once and come have the reunion was definitely, I think, one of the highlights. Although I wanted more like after, like it was just too much of a brief tease, but it was really, definitely a highlight.
Daniel, you're usually an unstoppable juggernaut of positivity. What did you think of this stuff?
I am. I won't lie. My first watch of this episode, I was really, really disappointed. I enjoyed it more on this second watch. I think a big part of that is the trailer. I think committed one of my all-time biggest pet peeves for trailers, which is that the trailer used a bunch of scenes from the end of the episode as the start of the trailer, which is like really, really misleading because it basically like the trailer was basically a trailer for season 3 more than it was really a trailer for this episode. And that's something that bothers me. But in the interest of positivity, I did really, obviously, I liked seeing Damon and Rhaenyra back together. That scene as a scene was fantastic. The High Valyrian, yeah. The almost forehead touch before Damon mm-hmm. moves away. There was a lot of really good stuff there. I loved seeing Syrax at Harrenhal. I do think this season as a whole, I've kind of realized since watching it now that like, it was kind of originally pitched as like, now the war is starting, when really this season is about how they all gather armies to go to war. So like the season is this is how we gather armies and the emotional toll of that. Mm-hmm. But I think that the Daemon and Rhaenyra thing, I have to be honest, it almost reminds me a little bit of Arya and Sansa from season 7 of Game of Thrones, where uh-huh. they built this whole plot line of them being at odds about Littlefinger yeah. and whether they could trust each other. But it was like a way to just like make tension when we all knew they were going to get along anyway. That's kind of how I feel about what this season did with Daemon and Rhaenyra, where it's like they needed to make it seem like, is Daemon going to do his own claim? But like this end turn of, no, actually, Daemon's just going to support Rhaenyra, felt like the inevitable thing we all knew was going to happen. And maybe Cody can speak to this better. Like, did it feel surprising to you, Cody, or did it feel like, did you see that coming?
I mean, it wasn't like a shock per se. I mean, I will say I enjoyed the episode as a whole, but it definitely, I don't know, it just kind of felt safe in a sense. Like there wasn't any, it didn't feel like they took any big yeah. swings. I mean, it definitely is clear it's building towards season 3, but as a right. whole, yeah. it just felt like a lot of the moments were kind of predictable in a sense. Like there wasn't any moment that they really just like shocked me and left me like running to social media to see what people were saying.
Okay, so I want to go negative now. I did like parts of the episode, but I feel like we're talking about Daemon. I got to bring this up. So I of course like the scene when they get put together. I like the High Valyrian. I like the romance. I of course I like a big like to war scene. It highlights two yeah. things. Yeah, the season. I watched the inside the episode thing afterwards, and Ryan Connell says that season 3 is going to be about total war. The season was more about, like you said, building things. I feel like we were promised total war at the end of season 1, and to not give it does really feel like a rug pull.
I don't believe him.
We heard things about battles being moved season 2 to season 3. Maybe it's being diplomatic. It felt like there should have been more forward momentum this season. It just did. After season 1 was so fleet-footed, and this one kind of slowed down the slow building thing. I agree with you. It felt like Daemon was kind of there to build some artificial tension. And also, I swear I will. I didn't like the way they got him to a place where he supports Rhaenyra.
Same.
Which basically through mystical visions. And this last one, I liked the vision itself was visually cool. Like he puts his hand on the weirwood tree and he sees Daenerys and he sees Bloodraven, who is this deep lore. You don't need to know, Cody. Who cares? Just nerds know. And he sees some White Walkers and it looks, and he steps into a pool and he goes, and it looks cool. I guess my question is, I don't feel like Daemon needed to get to the point where he realizes, I didn't like them saying like, now you know your part in this.
Yeah.
Because I feel like Daemon's a more interesting character, and everyone is, if they all think they're the hero of their own story. And mm-hmm. I don't like the idea that he's been kind of reduced. He now knows he has a part to play in a bigger story. I don't think that's great for drama. I think it's better if he does think he's the hero of his own story and he supports Rhaenyra anyway. So I didn't like that they kind of got him to this point in an artificial way that brings in another show that has something to do with, well, it has something to do with the show that's kind of outside the realm of the show. It's almost like cheating, and it didn't get to a good place, although I did like the scene. And I feel like they do that a bunch. I also didn't like when Helena is talking about like kind of spoiling what happens in Fire and Blood to Aemon. The whole notion that they're like that there's a set ending, that they're cogs in a machine, I think is unsatisfying to me.
Yeah.
Because I think what was so fun about Game of Thrones was that like Cersei, Rob, Jon, who other people, Stannis, all the Daenerys contenders all really felt like they were the cap, or they thought they were the captains of their own destinies, and they're just in conflict with each other. And I don't like the idea of kind of reducing it to you have a part to play, play it. I don't think that's as exciting. And I just am philosophically opposed to it, even though the reunion scene was nice. Did we enjoy the vision, the spooky vision?
I hated it. I hated all of
it. Why did you hate it?
That was the one thing that, yeah, I guess I surprised Daniel by saying, I think it's like, I said my least favorite. It's like my most hated part of the season, I think. It's just, I hate like the heavy handedness of it. I hate that, like, I mean, the amount of times we've talked about A Song of Ice and Fire on this show, I like it and it's cool. I like that they incorporated it, but we don't need it shoved down our throats that many times. It's like, we're all here because we watched Game of Thrones. So we know what this is. Like, it really makes me annoyed that they're really heavy handed with the fan service of like, oh, we're going to show Daenerys now. And it just really, really annoys me. And yeah, I agree that it's just like forcing, like, here's your part in the story. And it's just, I feel like I'd like things to be more of like vague.
Organic.
And, yeah. Organic. And just kind of like, you make your own interpretation. Why did they do this? Why did they think that way? But no, this is like spoon feeding. It's because you're all part of the Song of Ice and Fire that's going to happen in 200 years. And it's like, it really bothers me. And I honestly just didn't think it looked good either. I felt it just was kinda cool. And I didn't like it at all. I thought the Helena and Aemon scene, the first time I watched it, I complained to you guys because I was like, they just spoiled the whole thing. The second time I watched it, I liked it a little bit more just because I thought the acting was so good, but that's about it.
It was definitely better. Cody, Daniel, do you have anything to add to this oppositionally or in agreement?
After you, Cody.
I mean, I'm probably in a very, very small minority who skipped Game of Thrones and went right to House of the Dragon. Sure. So, I mean, the vision didn't, I mean, it was fun seeing it. Like, I messaged Natalie. I'm like, wait a minute, was that really, like, did I just see when I, and I was like, so I mean, as a person who hadn't known the whole lore, like, it was a fun little moment in there for me. Like, I was like, oh, that's fun. I know these things. I need to watch Game of Thrones now between seasons, finally. But yeah, I mean, sure, of his visions, it definitely wasn't my least favorite. There were other visions from his weird journey this season that annoyed me a little bit more.
They got dull.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think for me, I agree. I'm kind of in the middle where I did like some of the scenes we saw in Daemon's vision. Like seeing Bloodraven was cool. It's because, so the deep lore here, Bloodraven is a Targaryen bastard. That's the dude who was the three-eyed raven in Game of Thrones. We will meet him probably at some point in Duncan Egg because that's when he's actually alive. But I think it does bug me that Daemon's whole vision quest journey was building up to what is essentially a big Easter egg for Game of Thrones.
Right.
Because it just does feel like leaning a little heavily on the original show rather than doing something compelling for its own sake in this series without those training wheels. But on the flip side of that is there is a scene that was cut from the first season where Viserys tried to tell Daemon about the Song of Ice and Fire. And he chickened out. Viserys essentially at the last minute was like, it really doesn't seem like Daemon could handle this kind of information. He'll just scoff and be like, okay, you dreamed up a thing. You know about Aegon's dream. Sure, cool. I don't believe you. So to have Daemon go from that point to here where he is now telling Rhaenyra, I had the craziest vision here at Harrenhal. Let me tell you, you would not believe the things I've seen when I touch that tree. that's cool for Daemon. But I do, the Easter eggness of it all does feel like leaning too heavily on the original series for me. Helena talking to Aemon, I liked. I do think I'm not sure how I feel about Aemon knowing about how he will die, presumably, you know, spoilerville. But if Helena spoiled it, I guess I can too. I don't know how I feel about Aemon knowing that, because I think to have both Aemon and Daemon get basically prophecies in this season that The God's Eye, for those who don't know, is the lake next to Harrenhal. So Aemon gets told you'll drown in that lake, essentially. Daemon gets told you'll die at Harrenhal. So it's, I do think, I don't know if I like that that cat is so far out of the bag for them, because I wonder what that will be like psychologically. But I, as a whole, though, I did like the Helaena scene. I loved the reference to Aegon sitting on a wooden throne. He will be king again. That I liked almost more than the God's Eye bit.
I have a fear that, like, that's going to be part of their arcs now, like, dealing with the foreknowledge, which would be really boring.
Yes.
I just don't know why you would locate, like, the drive for your characters in some a prophecy instead of, like, what do they want? How do they go and get it? That's much more exciting to watch. Yeah. My last comment about Daemon, and next I'm going to do some things I liked. That's what I'm going to do to make some levels. Is that, like you said, like, yeah, he went on an arc. He didn't believe Sebastian Crepin, and now he does. But what's wrong with having a character who looks at a dream and says, that's bullshit? Like, I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's good to have multiple perspectives. That was kind of part of my thing I didn't like about the Allison scene. And we'll get to that. I think we'll save it for last.
That you said things you liked.
I know. We're going to get to that. Just making a bigger point. That she kind of comes around to Rhaenyra's way of thinking, and Rhaenyra's way of thinking is influenced by this prophecy thing. I wish someone would voice the opinion, what do you mean you want to rule the Seven Kingdoms because of a dream? What are you, nuts? Like, I think that would be really good for the show to say that there are other points of view to take on this. We don't have to believe it. Okay, some things I did like. I liked some stuff. I liked the scene with Alyn of Hull getting angry at Corlys Velaryon on the dock, because he's been...
That was one of my favorites.
Kind of this dour, stern character the whole time, which I was kind of getting tiresome. And so it was really good to have a new thing, like, oh, he bottles this all up, and now his deadbeat dad's trying to help him. He's like, oh, you're trying to help me now. Great. I'm so thankful. That was cathartic. That was nice. That was a really good moment for him. Chris said that he thought the Tywin scenes were strange and pointless. I actually liked them quite a bit. I enjoyed the Tywin Lannister goes to Essos and tries to get the Triarchy. I think it should happen early in the season. And has to mud wrestle Shirako Lohar, has to mud wrestle Philosophy Tube from YouTube. it was kind of goofy and out there, but I think levels are good. Like, sometimes this show is just too straightforward, dour the whole way through. And Game of Thrones broke stuff up. So I liked that we had some dour, gloomy stuff. And then we had this kind of loopy subplot with a monkey and a gender nonconforming pirate captain who wants Lannister to sleep with their wives. I thought it was fun. I thought it went on like a little long, maybe two scenes, not three, but I did think it was fun. And finally, my favorite scene, which I did not expect, was Christian Cole giving his speech about marching to our annihilation. I thought that was really good. I've often had a hard time getting into Christian Cole's head. I mean, again, it didn't go anywhere, because at the end, you're right, the final montage is all these armies, like, tune in 2 years to see them fight each other, which is just inherently unsatisfying after being promised war for 8 episodes for 2 months. This is like one of those. Usually I'm all about, like, shows should release their episodes one at a time over weeks. This one, I'm like, maybe you should have dumped all of these at once. Honestly, that might have actually helped, because week after week, it just wasn't moving along enough to be worth waiting for. But anyway, I thought that told me a lot about Kristen, his nihilism, his kind of fatalism, the way he has lots of reasons to feel ashamed and crappy about himself. And he's like, yeah, I feel sucky all the time, and I think death will be a relief. Don't you, Gawain? And Gawain's like, oh God, the guy commanding our army has a death wish. Super. I thought that was really good. I also like the show has like the Shakespearean faux dialogue thing it does a lot. And sometimes I want him to speak English, but that time I thought it was actually kind of poetic and nice, like the dragons dance and men are dust under their feet. I'm like, ooh, here come the chills. So those are some things I liked. Comments, thoughts, queries?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with Chris though on the Thailand scenes. I I think they kind of felt out of place in the finale. I was a little bored by them myself. I think if they'd come in like a different episode, it would have made more sense.
Yes,
but
I do agree with that.
It felt like they just didn't add much to the finale. I would have rather been spending time with like other characters doing impactful things, and they felt like they could have been slotted in at any point, honestly. But you know, I've written a few pieces about Christian Cole, and his scene definitely, I really enjoyed it. It was a fun moment for that one scene that we got really for him in the finale.
Imagine how much better the episode would have been if it ended with like Christian Cole and Godwin doing something about like confronting somebody. Would have been like take to the next level. Natalie, did this flip your opinion on Christian Cole? Are you a believer?
No, but I did not mind it at all. I thought it was a good scene. He finally, I told Cody, I was like, he's finally not insufferable. Like it was actually something.
Yeah.
All right, you're being honest. I will say, I know we'll talk about Allison Rhaenyra, but I thought it was interesting, kind of like the parallel Allison and Kristen are both like, I give up. I did the wrong thing and I am not honorable anymore. And my life is over. Thought that was funny.
Kind of hilarious that both Allison and Kristen at different points of time have said to Rhaenyra, come with me. Let's run away together.
Because everyone like, loves Rhaenyra.
If they could have just said it to each other, they could be off selling oranges in Dorne by now or something, yeah. Allison and Kristen. Kristen Cole is so interesting to me because he is like was one of the most loathsome characters on the show. Everyone hates Kristen. Sorry, Cody. Yes. Most everyone hates Kristen. But I think Kristen, so his scene is my favorite scene of the episode. I think that he has maybe one of the most interesting arcs of the whole season because he just starts off being really irresponsible at his position as Lord Commander. Like, got one of the royal princes killed because he didn't assign a protector to the queen because he was busy banging the queen dowager. Like, to go from that to like the nihilistic worldview of like, I've seen some things and I'm just haunted by the prospect that we are dust beneath the dragon's feet. Like, that it's a really compelling arc for Kristen. It's also, interestingly, one of the closest to the source material of anyone in the season. They basically just fleshed out the emotional toll of what Kristen would go through, but he's pretty faithful to what he does in the book. I also really love that Alan of Hull scene you talked about, Dan. I get chills watching that scene. There's a line like, now you give me the crumbs of your favor. And it's like, whoo, they cooked when they wrote that.
And it worked better because he'd been so stern and silent the entire time. Like, there was finally an eruption.
Yeah.
So I'll give him credit for that. Yeah. Sometimes putting things off can work, but maybe not
in this battle. I think Thailand is kind of interesting because it's kind of indicative of a season-wide problem. I feel this way about Rhaena too. Rhaena, who is officially the Gendry Baratheon of this show, she's just running. Just running for a whole ass episode. This felt like, you know, back when HBO first announced that House of the Dragon season 2 was going to be 8 episodes instead of 10, they stressed this was a story driven cut. This choice was driven by story. And then we got a hint from Sarah Hess, who's one of the writers and executive producers on this show, told Entertainment Weekly right before it aired, well, it wasn't really our choice about making it 8 episodes. And I think we really see the truth of that in this finale, because the Thailand scenes I loved, but I do agree that it is a little awkward to insert a whole plot line like that, introducing new characters and a whole new player on the board in a finale that sets up a battle that they're like, is going to come within days, except for us, the viewers, it's going to be 2 years.
Yeah.
So I think that the overall pacing of the ending puts the obvious lie to the idea that this was a fully story-driven choice. It kind of screams like we ran out of budget or space to
or
do
time,
2 more episodes.
Or strikes or something.
David Zaslav called someone who told us, hey, we couldn't have 2 more episodes and we needed to find a way to kind of wrap it up.
And
HBO
anybody.
Knew this. They obviously knew it because look at the footage they used for the trailer that was from the final freaking montage of the season. So that I have some pretty big reservations about. Allison, can we talk about Allison and Rhaenyra? Because I'll be honest, yes.
Of course. I have one more thing to say before we do that, because let's be honest, that's going to be the finale to this episode. It's going to be Allison and Rhaenyra.
Let's talk about whatever else we want to. People have asked about Otto a few times. Do you guys have any thoughts about Otto, aside from how silly it is that Otto went away for a whole last season just to show up again in these final minutes? Maybe he was filming Venom. I don't know.
Just that it was almost comical, like how many things set up but didn't pay off. Like, I'm sorry. Like, armies in the Riverlands, they don't meet. Army in the Reach, not going to meet. A fleet sailing for King's Landing, it's not going to do anything. Otto somewhere, no idea where. Rhaenyra finds a dragon. What happens next? We don't know. Like, it was, it almost felt like they were trolling us. Like, how many things can you not show what happens next on?
Yes.
I mean, I have no thoughts about Otto except that, like, it was a really weird thing to add in for the last second. Oh, and then Aegon and Laerys too, popping out. I liked Aegon and Laerys. I liked it. I mean, just because I've read the book, I can't help but think, like, but if he had been smuggled out during the invasion, it would have been more exciting. But yes, I did like the scene. Aegon is easily my favorite character this season, although I've also liked others. I've liked Kristen. I've liked a bunch of others. But he had, like, top to bottom, back to front, being really good. I just want to say, before we get into the Allison stuff, I also really liked, again, I would have liked it more if they had paid off in a battle or something. But I really like the scenes with Jace and the new dragon riders and,
Ulf, man.
Yeah.
Ulf was painful.
Ulf White. Dude, that guy is great. Like,
painful, but great.
We're talking about the kind of the value of adding layers and a little bit of comedy to break things. And just Jace being all stern face and Ulf having his feet up on the table and then hugging him, being like, can't tell us we're not trueborn Targaryens. Look, you got dark hair and I've lived in a cupboard my entire life. We're the same. We're the same, man. That was great. I love Ulf.
Way to hit right on the nerve.
Also, just he had a good arc. Like, just because in the last episode, you can tell he's just a coward, right? He was so nervous to do it.
Yeah.
And the second he gets any power, his head balloons up to the size of an elephant and he can't be told no. And he's like, he's telling a queen, best make me a knight then. Like, this, like, a couple of days after he was like, no, I can't do it. My ACL is torn. I can't ride a dragon. Sorry, it's too bad. He was great. And I love someone adding that kind of level and layer to it. Again, it didn't really go anywhere because the last thing we see of them is them suiting up. And I'm like, sure, that sure looks exciting. But I did enjoy watching the scenes of the Dragon Riders interact. And that's the last thing I'll say before Rhaenyra and Daemon. Any of Rhaenyra and Allison, anything else you guys want to add about anything before we get into the climax?
A couple. You guys want to go?
I was just going to say real quick, with the montage ending, I actually really enjoyed it, but I would have loved it if we had one more episode.
Yes.
If we had the Battle of the Bullet, the last episode, that's all I need. Like, that would have been so perfect. Yes. Because I thought it was really, like, exciting. And Otto, I just laughed out loud. Like, I was just like, all right, so many things are happening. And the music is fantastic. Like, I felt
wonderful music.
Great setup. Yes. But yeah, the fact that we have to wait 2 years is stupid. Okay, carry on.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you, Natalie, that the montage felt like the penultimate episode type montage. Mm-hmm. Like, we should be getting a finale after this. Like, that's what it felt like. Or like a mid-season finale. Like, it didn't feel like that should have been the ending for this season. Like, as much as we were building this season, we needed to end with some kind of epic conclusion. Like, it's just, yes, we know what's coming in season 3, but it's like, we deserved something in this season. Like, it felt unfinished. It felt like very much penultimate. So I completely agree with you. Like, I love the montage. The music was amazing. Like, it got you like amped, but then you're like, oh wait, I'm not getting an episode next week. I'm waiting 2 years now to find out what finally happens. And I hope they've really set the bar high for themselves of like, we are going to be expecting a big payoff in the season 3 premiere.
someone, yeah. Julie, yeah. Our longtime viewer, Julie, by the way, Cody says that she loves your collection. So kudos on that. Also, just before we get to Daniel, yes. Some commenter way down there said, I think it's a perfect metaphor that season two felt like 8 episodes of foreplay and no orgasm. I'm sorry, Working Blue. That does feel pretty apropos. I'm sorry. That's right. Perfect. Whoever said that, aces. Daniel.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard because they did kind of lean on the sowing of the seeds to be their penultimate thing. And that's I loved that episode. Mm-hmm. That episode is fantastic. I think it's probably the best episode of Dragons that has ever been on television. Like,
yeah.
Full stop mm-hmm. ever. But it didn't feel like a penultimate Thrones episode. Like, you know, yeah. Even thinking back to mm-hmm. season one of this show, where we had episode 8 was kind of the penultimate episode. That was King Viserys dying and then the green coup and then stuff like that. So yeah, I think I agree with everything you all are saying about this. Really isn't a bad episode. It's just bad as a finale is kind of yeah. how I feel.
Yes,
yeah,
something so, happened behind the scenes. Something happened. I don't care.
I think that is
like,
certainly
it was
true.
A creative decision. Keep spinning, it Ryan Condal. You yeah. keep spinning that PR. Bless
he
you.
Is walking the line. Mm-hmm. I a few things. So my thought on where Otto is. One, I laughed out loud too when I saw Otto, just because it was so random. It's also very far off book. What's happening yeah. with Otto, yeah. which I know won't matter to some people. But so Otto basically just chills in King's Landing until his story ends, which is not too long from now without going down the rabbit hole. So it is a weird choice to have Otto imprisoned. My best guess about who is holding Otto is that it's the Beesberries, which I think would be hilarious if that's true. Like, justice for Lyman Beesbury. That's the old dude who Kristen smashed his head during the Green Council coup. Because we found out in this season that the Beesberries are warring against the Hightowers for justice for Lyman, but we never actually found out how they found out that Lyman Beesbury was killed. So maybe they got that information from Otto. I think... Yeah, this episode, I'm losing my train of thought here, but it was a decent episode, but not a great finale. So,
yeah,
it's going to be a hard next 2 years. It's weird to go from episode 7, which I watched a whole bunch of times, to this episode where, like, I was real mad. So you guys in the chat, you're doing great to not be totally incensed, because when I watched this for the first time a day or two ago, I was really mad by some of the decisions and how they ended it. So,
man,
yeah.
Everyone has different perspectives. There's no right or wrong way to interpret this. If you loved it, I'm happy you loved it, and I'm jealous of you. Yeah. I feel like... Yes?
I remembered my thought, which I'm going to give us a silver lining here. Honestly, I was afraid that they were going to rush a major event from... what will now be season 3. There's one involving Rhaenyra. There's the Battle of the Gullet. I thought they might try to cram one of those in at the end of the episode. And honestly, I was nervous it would have sucked if they did that. So the one silver lining to this is the season ended much earlier in the story from the book than I expected. And I think that like 5 seasons feels very likely at this point. I would be surprised if this show doesn't go for 5 seasons now, because of how they've kind of shown they're willing to slow things down and put a lot of effort into doing them rather than rush to hit all the beats, we can argue whether that's a good choice or not, because the overall pacing of the season suffered for it.
Yeah. Like, I'm sorry. Like,
could be a bad
the
choice.
Risk there is if you slow things down because you want to get more seasons, but the seasons themselves are less entertaining, fewer people watch, and then you don't have the audience to support more seasons. Like, there is
that is the risk. Yeah.
A business irony here. And honestly, after this episode, I'm a little afraid folk are not going to wait 2 years to see what happens next, or at least we'll be checked out by that point. So I feel like in place of a big orgasmic battle climax, they gave us the Allison and Rhaenyra scene. So let's finally dive into that. Allison,
let's do it.
Is upset. with how Aemon's handling things. She becomes like the 300th person to travel from King's Landing to Dragonstone this season, even though they're at war, and just I'll ignore that. They even like drew attention to it where Aemon was like, make sure no boats can leave the harbor, which is like, you're going to do that and then you're going to just have her do it anyway. Okay, fine. Whatever, guys. Clearly doesn't matter.
Good point.
She goes there. She basically turns her cloak more or less and says, I invite you to come into the city. Aemon sucks. I want the war to end. If you sit the throne, it'll hopefully have a better chance of ending. And Rhaenyra's like, okay, but we got to kill your son. She's like, okay, fine. Aegon, who is now gone. Okay, so Cody, I want to ask you first, as someone who doesn't have the kind of the book perspective, what did you make of this scene?
I mean, I really love this scene. Honestly, I just love whenever Alicent and Rhaenyra are together. Like, they, Olivia and Emma just play off of each other so well. And like, their dynamic, I just love every time they get like a scene together. And I've said it before, like, Alicent just, she surfs faith. Like, she just, every scene, like, she just tells so much with her expressions. Really, really good. And like, I love Olivia. I'm kind of unapologetically like an Alicent supporter, even when she's doing questionable things. Like, I just love her character and I can't fully justify it at times, but it was just, it was an unexpected scene just to get to see them come together. And I enjoyed it. I don't know, like, was it the big climactic scene? Maybe, like, that's a little bit debatable, but it still is just like, it was a fun scene. But I will, Dan, you're all right. Like, the way she quickly said, like, eh, I can sacrifice this son. Like, I mean, she's definitely not going out for Mother of the Year.
Ooh, they done it up, though, like the music and the slow walk and the cutting it together. Yes. Like, they want us to think this really hits hard. And I'm glad you enjoyed it. I truly am. Natalie, Daniel, what'd you guys think of the scene?
Natalie.
I didn't dislike it. Honestly, I disliked the sister act reunion, the first one, more than this one. That one seemed a little bit more ridiculous to me, just like the Septa outfit and all that. Like, I don't know. But I think there are a lot of things that I've just come to accept, issues I had with the season that I came to accept before the finale. So this didn't bother me that much. That they put so much focus on Alicent and Rhaenyra. In the book, it's not that way. In the show, I don't mind because I love the two of them so much, but I do think it is forced and it just doesn't really make sense. But as a scene of TV, I thought the acting was amazing. And for reason alone, like, I really did not mind it. I thought it was great that Rhaenyra finally was able to call out Alicent and said, like, no, I had affairs as well. I had my lovers too, but I never said I didn't. Like, I never was clinging to virtue. And I'm so glad she got that out, because that's why we all are mad at Alicent all the time. But yeah, it was strange that Alicent just said, I know she didn't explicitly say it, but she's giving up her son. It was just strange. And what I told you guys in a chat a few days ago was that I think she's just so in love with Rhaenyra. That's her driving force for everything,
whether it's
good or bad things. So I guess I buy it, but it is a little cheesy, but I didn't dislike it. So I'm conflicted.
I want to pick up on the idea that she just loves Rhaenyra so much that she loves her more than her children, but she's willing to sacrifice them. I have a bit of like a meta-textual rant to go on about why this scene is against the spirit of George R. R. Martin's works. Are we ready?
Oh, I'm so ready. I hated this scene, for the record. But yes, I want to hear your rant.
I wonder if we'll hate it for the same reasons. And actually, okay, I didn't hate it. Natalie, you're right. It's not the book at all where Alicent and Rhaenyra are at odds. It's a new thing they're doing. It's a very different sort of story. I like the story in Fire and Blood. I think it's better. I think it's more interesting. But I get it. In this version, it's really about Alicent and Rhaenyra trying to overcome kind of circumstance to be in the same page like they're destined to be. I guess my problem with Everybody Loves Rhaenyra is that it seems like the show's picked a side kind of in The Dance of the Dragons. what I liked about Game of Thrones and Fire and Blood was there's this multiplicity of perspective where you can be Team Rob, Team Stannis, Team Daenerys, Team Jon, Team Cersei. I was Team Cersei, FYI.
Hell yeah, Team Cersei.
And the story doesn't really make them apologize for their behavior. It's just they are who they are and they go for it and they get into conflict. It feels like the show thinks Rhaenyra's way is the right way. It spent a season kind of getting Daemon to reorient his perspective through spooky visions until he finally sees that he should be supporting his wife. And I agree, it was kind of drawn out. I don't think he had to make this journey to, he could support his wife and be a wild card who kills kids. But the show judges him. Like, that's definitely a wrong thing you did. It's terrible. Allison kind of has the same thing. Like, she's against Rhaenyra, but it's only because of circumstantial reasons. She misinterpreted Viserys's dying words. She's been driven apart. The first season, I believed that, like, Allison was, like, feeling all of these, it's unfair, I have a bad lot in life. Why she get to go off and have fun while I get to marry a decaying old man and bear kids when I'm a teenager? Like, I got it. I was on her side. And this season was kind of about, again, like, making Allison see the light that Rhaenyra is the right way to go. Daemon literally saw Rhaenyra in like a heavenly glow on the Iron Throne in his vision. Like, it couldn't have been any more clear. So she goes around, she comes around and says, like, you can do it. You make the better queen. And I just find this kind of flattening less interesting than what Martin usually does, which is kind of show us these are people. This is what they all believe. It might be right or wrong, depending on your perspective, and then they fight. I don't like the show kind of pushing this. There is a correct claimant to the throne, and if you're not on their side, you're on the wrong side. That's why I like Aegon so much in it, because I feel like he's really the only one who's kind of got light and dark battling in him. Like, he is a third option, and I'm voting third party for this particular show right now for Aegon. Because he's not really either of their teams. He wants to be able to rebuild it. Good for him. So, and it did feel a little, I wish they were in conflict with each other, not everyone drawn into Rhaenyra's orbit. And before I turn it over, can I say something that I think is going to be kind of controversial?
Do it.
Reading interviews and with the producers and what they've said, I feel like part of the reason they rewrote the story this way is because they want to, and I think this is a good goal, to kind of shine a light on how patriarchy can kind of push people away, can make women in power in particular kind of go at each other's throats when otherwise, even though they're the best people in the room for the job, they're kind of get seduced by the dark side of it and they have no choice because they're stuck in the system. I think it's a good point to make. I think the show has made it strongly. But it results in this thing where, like, the women can't be in conflict with one another. And I'd go so far as to say, I almost think that's sexist. The idea that the women are always the ones who are advocating for the small folk, who never have hate in their heart, who never want to do violence, and just as if women can't be in conflict with each other, as if they can't be ambitious, as if they can't be avaricious, as if they can't be greedy or power hungry, and as if there isn't kind of a lot of fun in watching that and a lot of truth to it. I think good intentions may have led them down a bit of a boring path. When I think this scene kind of shows me why. I didn't hate the scene as in terms of it's a new story and I'll just go with it. It's not the book anymore. And that's kind of my thoughts on just the kind of behind the scenes things of what's kind of bugging me on a higher level.
Anybody? I think that's really fair.
That crap.
I mean, I think that's really fair, honestly, because so I'm not going to go into spoilers. And actually, the reason I dislike this scene has nothing to do with the source material. But I will say that I do think Ryan Condal, the showrunner, has pretty explicitly said, we wrote scenes like this one, like the Sister Act scene, because we knew people would want to see Rhaenyra and Allison together. And I think that kind of speaks to it, a little bit of a cowardice to keep them apart long enough that we really want them to be back together, because they gave it to us so upfront. Like, thinking about Game of Thrones, like, some of the best reunions on that show were because characters had been apart for like 4 seasons. And then when they see each other again, it is just like, it tears your heart in half.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of like John and Sansa. Like, I cried. I'll admit it. I'm not ashamed. I'm a man. I can cry at television. John and Sansa, like, that was a beautiful scene. And I think House of the Dragon has done itself a disservice a little bit, because so there is an event coming up down the pike, which will eventually see Allison and Rhaenyra spending quite a lot of time together. And because the show has taken the route this season of having them reunite a few times, it's going to hit a lot less well than it would have, I think, because they've already front loaded us getting to see them more. So that's my thought about it as a source material thing. The reason I really didn't like this scene as a capstone to the second season, I think it's almost indicative of the show, one of the show's big problems, which is creating artificial tension. Allison's whole big thing here is she sneaks onto Dragonstone, which, yes, there's a lot of sneaking back and forth. It's almost a little silly because it's happened in more than half the episodes of the season at this point. But so Allison sneaks onto Dragonstone, and the big heartrending emotional turn for Allison is, yes, I would even let my own son be executed. And I saw someone calling out that that's hypocritical of Rhaenyra. It's kind of similar to Daemon, a son for a son. Sure. That's true. It's a little more understandable for Rhaenyra here, because it's like, he was the other claimant to the throne. She really cannot pardon him. Like, that just wouldn't go over well with the lords of Westeros. But I think to have that be the big emotional turning point for Allison, like, yes, she is so committed to this thing, which does make it seem like the big thing is history will misinterpret you as a villain, Allison. We know you're a good person, really. Instead of like, Allison is pretty damn vindictive in the book. So it's like the book was the propaganda that Allison is actually a good person and all this stuff. And I do think that's a little less compelling than like a Cersei Lannister, where it's like, she's just awful. Like, they could have found a middle ground for Allison, I think. But it has the whole thing be Allison is admitting this heart-wrenching thing that she will let her son die. And then we see in the very next scene that that won't happen. While she is still walking out and it's playing this dramatic music, agree with Zach in the comments who said the music was amazing, Rahman Djawadi. Rahman Djawadi really did a lot of heavy lifting in this finale and this season in general. He was fantastic. But so we see that the thing that was such a big deal for Allison is not going to happen in the same scene, more or less, that we see her admit that it will happen. And I think that that's kind of bad storytelling, honestly. Like, I think that that is robbing the main, the climactic final scene of the season's big emotional turn. It's robbing it of the tension in the same exact scene. And I just don't think that that is very compelling personally. So that was my biggest problem with it, more so than any actual changes.
Lack of dramatic tension. Cody, yeah. Natalie, what do you make of all this stuff?
I mean, isn't that kind of like the gist for Allison, though? Like, nothing ever goes to plan for her.
No.
It almost seems fitting that, like, she just promised this and then it's like, oh, no, it's not going to happen, because nothing ever goes to plan for her. I will say the final shots where we see, like, Allison looking out and, like, the cliff, and then we see Rhaenyra. Like, I love those shots. Just beautiful. Like, this is a shot, and they played so well with the music. I think Daniel had a good point there, though, with that of, like, it does kind of undercut her spiel there majorly to go show. Like, oh, no, he's fleeing. He's in his little wagon and riding away with his own hood. But, I mean, it almost does feel like it fits for her character, because they just always find a way that nothing goes her way, in a sense. But I agree. Now, I think it was an interesting season for sure, and some interesting choices made. It's kind of interesting listening to y'all talk about the books, and I almost wonder if that's why the scene didn't annoy me as much and I enjoyed it is because I don't have that backstory to know, like, this is so different in the books. And, like,
I
listening to you all talk, like,
about
I'm like,
this. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that that's probably why, like, someone like me, like, I don't have that source material to know, like, oh, this is so different. But, like, listening to y'all talk about the source material and how different it is, I'm like, oh, okay, I see why this scene would be, I'd be annoyed if I was a reader and, like, this was the scene they gave me.
Yeah.
Natalie.
Yeah. I definitely agree that I don't like the good versus evil. This is the good person. This is a bad person. But I mean, that's why I feel like the one thing I made, like, a list of issues that I've gotten over, but the one that I still can't is just Damon. I can't get over it because in season one, he was my, yes, he's supporting Rhaenyra, but he's also batshit crazy and he might choke her and he might, like, go against her and, like, all those things. And just not having that, I feel like, was a huge loss. But then that's why Aemon took his place in my heart, because I also think that I thought they humanized Aemon a lot this season to where I think similarly to Aegon, I don't think he's on either side. I think he's just on his own. And I think that's really interesting. So yeah, more characters like that, less of the, this is the good person we should all follow, which is also hard for me though, because I do love Rhaenyra so much. So I do want to follow her, but it, yeah, it's not as interesting. It's boring that way.
I love Rhaenyra too. I feel like this makes her a little less compelling than she would. I would love her even more if they kind of cracked it open and showed some of her flaws, I guess, or didn't make it as clear that she was the chosen one. But of course, I still like her. I'm still excited. I still love the show. Still a great show. Commendations for everybody who made it, cast and crew. Let me have anything else I want to say before we sign off.
I just want to respond to, so Billy in the chat says this was an inoffensively bad season, not Game of Thrones season 8 bad, but definitely on the lower end of the GOT universe. I think this is one of the shitty things about bad endings. I really liked the season as a whole. There was a lot of good stuff on it. Rook's Rest is an incredible episode. Right. I think, like, up there with any of the best episodes of Game of Thrones. But I do think this season is kind of going to become the poster child for why the 8 episodes 2-year gap is not a great model. And I don't want to root against House of the Dragon, but I hope that someone in some power position who can make decisions about this stuff sees that this was a bad choice and can adjust to it, because I do think it really did this season a disservice. And I don't think we would be having these same, we'd have some of the same reservations, but I don't think they would be anywhere near as bad if we had another episode or two, like, full stop.
I agree.
And it also makes, like, episode with a misstep or two hits a lot worse when you only have 8 instead of 10. So having a slower episode where less happens, like Regent, the 5th episode, feels a little less egregious when you have 10 episodes instead of 8, and one of your episodes is going to end with two people having a conversation in a very muted way. I really, really liked this season. I don't think it's, like, a bad season of television whatsoever.
No.
But I think the PR for this finale really dropped the ball and did a bad job of setting expectations. And we'll get over it at some point. Good thing we have a Knight of the Seven Kingdoms coming in 2025, the next Game of Thrones spinoff. Yes.
I like Julie's comment here, and Julie, I think we should end on her comments since she is infallible. Come on, I had some really good stuff in there too. Let's not forget that. I'll list some things that I really love about the season here to lift us up on a high note. I loved Aegon top the front. What an arc he had, like, from kind of shallow brat king to disabled, can't pee right, hopeful returning king. Kristen Cole, really? I did not expect it. He rose my estimation a lot. I really enjoyed his stuff.
Yeah.
Battle of Rook's Rest, amazing. Agreed. The Dragon Seeds, great. A lot of good minor characters. I love Sir Simon Strong. I loved Ulf White. I really ended up liking Hugh Hammer. A lot of, like, smaller ones they really brought in. A lot of juicy, good stuff. And that final Damon Rhaenyra scene, I mean, there's something powerful about Matt Smith pumping his fist with a sword in his hand, same as the war. The last montage was great. I wish it was coming faster, but I can't gainsay the wonderful stuff we did get. So congrats to the House of the Dragon casting crew. Congrats to Coda the Cat, who is now in Daniel's lap. Thanks, everybody here, for coming every Sunday to listen to us. Thanks to Natalie and Cody for joining the podcast. We're not going to be doing Sunday night meetups anymore, but we do stream every Wednesday at 2 p.m. CST, 3 p.m. EST, on the Winter is Coming YouTube page and Facebook page about all things sci-fi, fantasy, movies, TV, books, which includes a lot of Game of Thrones-y stuff. I'm sure this Wednesday we'll discuss Night of the Seven Kingdoms. We'll discuss other things going on in those worlds. But you're all invited. I love you all. Please come and like, comment, subscribe, and I don't know, find out where I live and leave me a 20 on my doorstep. You can also download us in podcast form wherever we're available, be it Google Play, Apple, no wait, YouTube Music, wherever. We're everywhere. Go find us. Thanks, guys. This has been a lot of fun. I really enjoyed talking with you, both people on the call and the people in the chat. And I hope that we all see each other very, very soon. To the queen, whoever was, goodbye.
This podcast is brought to you by FanSided. Join our community of over 300 sites from sports to pop culture and everything in between.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Brighten up your garage or workspaces with LED utility and panel light bulbs from GT Light. GT Light light bulbs are energy efficient, and with their easy adjustable light panels, you can direct light where you need it most. Save big on all GT industrial utility and panel light bulbs. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for more hot deals happening now. Save big.